And by the anointing of God, we brought in how we can be an individual in God. And God ain't trying to change our personality. He just wants to convert our personality. How many knows it? He wants you to be what he is. Now, how many, I tell you, I'd hate for Doc to try to change from what he is. I mean, I don't know if I know him or not. Amen. Because God made each one of us individuals, and that's what he wants us to be before him. Amen. All right, so this morning again, this will be part two, and I won't go too far with it, but I just wanted to share those things with you. And it'll be the same thing, New Testament, the New Testament Feast of the Tabernacle. And last week I showed you why I was so intrigued about this Feast of the Tabernacle. Everybody dwelt in their own individual tent. And everybody had to build a tabernacle, a booth, it was said. And everybody had their own. But it was only to the children of Israel. See? Now, when we get over here in Zechariah 14, where the tabernacle in the millennium is to all nations, see, where it goes from the Jews to the Gentiles. See, the Jews rejected the Savior, and it came to the Gentiles. How many will say amen? Amen. So, we get that part there. But let's just take a moment to reread this, and I'll point out a couple of things, highlight them, that I want to bring in on my message today. I'm in Leviticus 23, and we've read this other Sunday, but I point out different things I won't point out today. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of the Tabernacles." This is verse 34. "Feast of the Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day there shall be a holy convocation." Back to the first again. "Unto you, and you shall offer offering unto the Lord made by fire, offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein." Now, solemn assembly means that word's there. If you ever look the word solemn up, you'll be surprised. It means something they do every year. And it means a holy occasion. And it also means, what was that word, Bob, we looked it up in the dictionary this morning on that solemn assembly? You remember that we, holy day, solemn assembly, something they do every year. Oh yeah, and you're in awe in a holy assembly. And, it's impressive. You're in awe. In other words, it's a very special occasion. Amen. Solemn assembly, and that's a so. We've had a solemn assembly in the first church when the Lord moved among them in such a tremendous way, gave great manifestation of the Holy Spirit when the Word was written. Amen. That was the first day. But then on the eighth day, once we come through the seven church age period, then there is to be another holy assembly. Amen. All right. So I just wanted to stop there that long to get that. Verse 37, These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer offerings made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering and a sacrifice, drink offering, everything upon his day, and we're not dealing with those, they don't have as much application our day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which you give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath, when they gather in the fruit. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, God's going to gather His fruit in there. You take that to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew's, where they gather the wheat into the garner and fruit of the land. So it's beautiful there. All right, the next verse says, "And ye shall take unto you on the first day the broth, the godly, goodly trees, the branches, the palm trees, and the broth of thick trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God. Now that's, you got to take these fruits of the Spirit in. How many knows it? Now when you get over in the New Testament, add to your faith, and we won't stay with that, but you got to do this yourself. Now, this is not something I can do for you. Amen. When you get the fruits of the Spirit and all, that's something you do yourself. Your faith has to be tried. The trying of my faith, I can be an example to you, but the trying of your faith is more precious than pure gold, though it be tried by fire. All right, let's get the next verse, 41. It says, "And you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year." Of course, this is relating to the seven church ages in time. "It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." Now, I want to say this 7 days unto the Lord. Now, on the eighth day, a holy convocation. And in the Old Testament, the tabernacle had the seven candlesticks and so on. But now the Jews, in this last day, which has no scriptural command for them to do it, has this Hanukkah. And there they have eight candles, because one time they lit the lamps and it was supposed to be enough oil to last a day, and it lasts 8 days. So they begin to form them a feast and a festival. It's called a Hanukkah, and that's the next 8 days. It started yesterday, I believe. And I saw them this morning in New York. There they had one of the rabbis, they had to lift them up there to light big candlestick. Well, see, there's eight on the eighth day. That puts you right back to the first again. Amen. So there are 7 days in the week. When you go to eight, you go back to the first day. And that's what God promised in the Word of God, that on the first day and on the eighth day. Amen. So we've had one holy convocation, early church. So God's going to give a rapture of the church in this last day. Amen. Get us ready to go. Now, here's something I want you to notice, verse 42. And these points I just want to point out without tarrying on. It says, "You shall dwell in booths 7 days." Now, these are natural booths outside the tabernacle. Now, you can get in Numbers chapter 2 how Israel camped, how they all camped around the tabernacle and all. I'm not going to include that in this message because it would lengthen it so much that we would take the rest of the winter on these things. But they had their tabernacles, a booth around the tabernacle. Now, that was in the Old Testament. That's in the physical. See? But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is that tower. He spread His tent, and He came, and He became all of this. Now, in reading, and I have a chart on it, but I'm not going to even use it in this message. But everything in the tabernacle as it was built typed out the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the way the furniture is set, make the cross, and where you come in, you wash in water baptism. And it types it all out so perfectly. How many knows it? Amen. It types it out so perfectly, and it's so beautiful. And it was all types and shadows of what the Lord do. But the Bible tells us that by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. See, that's in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, they were outside of the tabernacle. They couldn't come. They didn't. The priests and all went in. The tabernacle actually was pretty small. But the point being here is, in the New Testament, we're not outside. We're in Him. See, in Him we live, move, have our being. We're part of Him. Praise the Lord. So, in the Old Testament, the natural, we were built our tabernacle. They built the booth outside. Now I want to say this for the sake of drawing a contrast in your mind that you may understand better what I'm saying. And this will be a little bit of a repetition last week because I want to refresh your mind on it because what we're going to say next. Amen. But now they camped outside the tabernacle. They built their booths. But now in the New Testament, see, we're in Christ. And when we look, we're still individuals. And I want to draw a contrast here that the way companies do, at the big companies where they have a lot of secretaries and all, and they have each one has their own booth, but they're in the building, see. Now, in the Old Testament tabernacle, they were outside, see, because Christ hadn't come and died. We couldn't be baptized in the body of Christ. Amen. So, I won't draw this contrast. You're members of His body. Now, you'll see on television a lot of time where at the time different insurance companies operate, and the one they use, Geico or something, they're one that, where they got the little animal. What is that little animal? A gecko, okay. Well, I kind of like that little commercial. But in that, you'll see that big building they're in, and there's a lot of booths. Everybody got their booths inside the building, see. And that types out the New Testament, not Gecko, or whatever you call that little animal. But I'm just showing, I'm saying that to draw a contrast. But still, inside the building, you're still an individual. You still have your booth, and nobody can't take your place, see. Amen. So in the body of Christ, you are you. I'm me, and you're you. See, and we're baptized by one Spirit into the body. Praise the Lord. And when we get into the spiritual realm, then we're all in the same building, all working for the same company, and all, but we're doing different things. Everybody don't do the same thing. Amen. And everybody got their individual place where they put their pictures and things that about their family and so on. And some might even post the scripture to on their little booth wall. Amen. But the read, you know. Do you do that, Jenny? Amen. On your booth. Amen. See, the thing is, everybody individual, but they're working for the same thing. And we're individuals in Christ, but we're working for the kingdom of God. Amen. All of us working for the kingdom of God. We are working for the same purpose. And there's one place relating to the temple where it says that they go to the tabernacle as one man. But when they leave, they go to the individual booth. But this was for Israel in the natural. That's what I want you to get on verse 42 here. I didn't have time to get all these last week reading. I'm going to. It says, "You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths." And I wanted you to get that one. See, now this is in the natural. The gospel was for Israel. Unto them was committed the oracles of God. Amen. Now when we get over into Zacharias, when he talks about what's in the New Testament, when the natural people still keep the booth, the tabernacle, or the Feast of Tabernacles and living booth, then it's for all nations there because it goes into the millennia. Amen. I'm glad it's for whosoever will let him come into this, as many as the Lord call. Praise God. Jews or Gentiles or whoever it is. Praise God. Just like the woman came to Jesus before the Jews rejected him. Her daughter was grievously ill. And she says, "Lord, heal my child," or "Lord, help me." And Jesus says, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give the dogs." Because the gospel was only to the Jews at that time. That's what they counted as Gentile. But praise God, them that they call dogs is going to be the bride. Amen. Because out of the Gentile, hallelujah, called the people for His name's sake. And the woman, she's a humble woman, says, "But the dog desires the crumbs that fall from the table." Jesus said, "I haven't found this greater faith in Israel." Said, "Woman, go your way." Amen. God will make a way, won't He? Amen. He'll find a way to make a way for it. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad He made a way there in the garden. He said, "The day you eat thereof, that day you shall die." And Satan thought they would fall dead there, Adam and Eve. But He made a way. He accepted the Lamb as a substitute. Amen. In this hour, He's accepting the Lamb as a substitute for our righteousness. Glory to God. Jesus Christ. Amen. Now here's what I want you to know. In that literal tabernacle. See, now God's our tabernacle. But that literal tabernacle, they kept it, and it was only for the Israelitish born people. And He says, verse 43, "That your generation may know that I have made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Now, before I move, now we'll go to Zacharias on. Hold that part. It was only for the Jews. But let's go to Zacharias now. 14th chapter. And I'm pointing out something on this that I didn't point out last week. Because last week the Lord gave me one thing to point out. You're an individual and you stay that way and you be happy as an individual. Now back up and bring these other things in. Alright, so I don't know if I told you this last week. I don't remember, but if I did, it'll be a repetition, but it won't hurt anything anyway because it's not a long story. But one night I had a dream that a bunch of us was camping. And it was in a field. I used to put tents up, do tent revivals. And I know you've got to, when you do tent, you got to get the stake drove down good. If you don't, the wind will blow. In a tent, it'll scratch and it'll pull your stakes up. And I've had preaching while the stakes are actually pulled up. We have such strong winds. But in this one, we were putting up little tents and I said, that sand won't hold this year. Because we was in a field. And I went and got some cross ties and tied mine down, fixed it down, everybody laughing. What do you think? Coming to storm or something? We're only going to be here for a day or two. No use in being like you're going to live in there for eternity, making fun of me because I took extra time. But that night there came a storm. Next morning there were tents scattered all over the field. And I'm not saying I'm real good or something, but I think it's the point here that mine stayed because I built on the foundation. And Paul said, I have laid the foundation. Amen. And another will build their own. Amen. I'm not worried about whether the foundation's right or not. You know why I'm not worried about it? There was a man that says, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. All I got to do is do my building right. The foundation's right. It's laid by St. Paul. Amen. He preached from them. Laid us out 14 books there. Plus he reached back and told us about things in the Old Testament. He said these in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. There he said these things are written for examples and for our learning. That's what the entire Bible is for. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. You can't add to it. You can't take from. Amen. It's just right like it is, ain't it? Praise God. All of it don't apply to me individual, but I can read it and get... when I read about the flood, I ain't worried about another flood coming because there ain't going to come another. But I can see the man of God stood there faithful with the Word and God fulfilled His Word. It's an example to me that He's God and whatever He says, that's the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, on this year, I'm just going to read a little quickly because I want to draw a point out. And these are natural people that is speaking of here, and there's going to be a natural temple in Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus Christ, as King of all the earth, is going to come sit in that tabernacle. Amen. And from once a year, all the natural people on the earth, they'll come up and keep that keep that tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles. And that's where they dwell, their individual tabernacle. And this is in the natural. Now, we're the bride, those that are raptured, they're in the Spirit. They're already with the Lord. Amen. They're already all over the world. But there will be some that go into the millennium where Jesus separated them as a sheep from the goat. Amen. And He'll judge some worthy to live in the millennium. And those people, they'll marry, give it, and so on, and reproduce, and build houses, and everything. And they'll form the land that'll bring forth wonderfully. As long as they keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. But if they don't keep the Feast of the Tabernacle, there will be no rain on their crops. And this is for all nations. Now I want to show you something here. Amen. If we don't keep the Word of God, there will be no rain on our spiritual crop. That's the reason a lot of people ain't bringing forth much fruit. Amen. Is that right? That's the reason there ain't no rain falling on them. Some people say, I didn't feel a thing. Well, honey, you probably won't feel nothing. Amen. Till you get keeping the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says. Amen. I feel plenty of it. I feel a stream of flowing. I feel that rain. He said He'd give us that former rain and latter rain in one month. Hallelujah. That'll be natural rain. I'm talking spiritual rain here. Amen. Amen. Lord, let it rain on my crop. Amen. Let me keep the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. I got excited. You lost my place here, dude. I want to, in Zechariah 14, let's begin in verse 16. And this will be a good, to say the same thing twice. Paul says, to me it's not grievous, but for you it's needful. I want to point out a couple of things in there that I didn't point out last week. It says, Zechariah 14 and 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations, that's when he come back in the millennium, after the great battle of Armageddon, after tribulation, everyone that's left of all nations, not Jews now, all nations which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year, and they'll have 1,000 years, to worship the King. He's sitting there on his throne in Jerusalem. The Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles, you know. Now watch that. Amen. They're still individuals and they're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. That's the only feast that I'm aware of that goes on over into the millennium. Amen. But God wants them to come up and pay homage and pay respect to the King of Kings at least once a year. Amen. Okay. Notice they keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. And I want you to notice all nations, not just the Jews. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not come up of all, notice that word all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Amen. Have you been worshiping the Lord of hosts? Have you been coming up? It's not coming up to a certain geographical place. It's in the Spirit. Amen. John heard a voice saying, come up a little higher. And immediately he was in the Spirit. And as far as we know, he's the only one on the island that was a believer. But he came up, and you can come up and worship the Lord of hosts, and he'll rain on your crops, and you'll be a fruitful tree. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice verse 18. It says, if the families of Egypt go not up, Egypt, you're going to have to recognize where the king's at. He's up there in Jerusalem. You get stubborn, and God will make you pay. It says, and if the families of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, that shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathens or the Gentiles that come up not up to keep the feast of tabernacle. What the word says. Okay. This get bigger and bigger and bigger. I won't get in Hebrew some things there. But let's get verse 19 here. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all. I'm going to underline this all. So next time I read this, I want to be sure I catch this. All punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. I want you to watch that. That's not Jews, man. Now over there, when they did it in the natural there in the Old Testament before Christ came, see, God made a promise to Abraham and God was dealing with the natural seed. But you know what Paul said in the book of Galatians? He says, Isaac wasn't that seed, but it was Christ. And through Christ, we're made partakers of that promise God made to Abraham. So we're all the children of God. Not Jew, nor Gentile, Greek, or barbarian, not bound, nor free, not male, nor female. Amen. We're all one in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. I like that. All right. He says here. Now notice, all nations, that's what he's dealing with now. It says, in that day there shall be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord. What a contrast today. I'll tell you, watch TV programs anymore, it ain't hardly anything. Maybe an old Western. There's nudity, there's profanity. Amen. It's just, the devil's got his hand. He's got good control of that, ain't he? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. But in that day, you'll drive down the street, you will see a cafe named Holiness Unto the Lord. Amen. What's that one over in Zambia that the brother? Jehovah Jah. He was in need and he trusted God and God needed. Is that what it means? Jehovah Jah, the Lord will provide. So the name of the cafe is Jehovah Jah. The Lord will provide. See, in the millennium, amen, even up on the bells of the horse. Amen. You see them marching in the parade, riding them horses. We saw that yesterday, but not holding the Son of the Lord on them. Amen. They're on all the horses holding this unto the Lord. I tell you, it's just around the corner too, folks. Amen. We're down here at the end of the age. This is fixing to be a reality. The rapture is going to take place. Amen. The Lord's going to descend and He's going to lift us up. Amen. Give us a glorified body. How many knows it? Amen. So, these feasts here, it comes over, he said, in that day, that's millennia. They're on the bells of the horse, holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. That is in the house there, in the old referring, making reference back there to the old test where they were of gold and different things. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord. That will be I won't mean one of them pans. I won't mean one of them pots. I saw one yesterday, Billy, I thought about you, a big pot over at flea market, big iron pot. I thought, Billy, might like that. Amen. But in this hour, the company holding this under the Lord. Amen. I'll buy from them. Amen. They have investments in there, I'll invest in them. But that's what I'm investing in right now, in preaching the gospel, living this life. Amen. Holding this under the Lord. And it says, and all that sacrifice shall come and take of them. These people that come up every year for 7 days. Now that's natural people come in the presence of the bride. Amen. The Bible says about that tree of life, her leaves are for the healing of the nations. Amen. Don't mean like, oh, I got a headache today, I want one of them leaves to get healed. No. It's if them nations in the world, if they get a little argument or something, all they got to do is come in the presence of the tree of life. Amen. All that old feeling will leave. And I'll tell you, if this church is a church of the living God and this is the body of Christ, you may come in with an old hateful spirit on you. Amen. When the Holy Ghost get moving, amen, if you get in the spirit, it'll all leave. You'll be healed. Amen. Oh, they'll soothe their end. They'll come in, they'll eat, and they'll have a good time. It says, sacrifice shall come and take them and soothe their end. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of the Lord. Amen. Everything's going to be just like He wants it. Amen. All right. Let's go to the book of Hebrews here. And now this is, I'm not going over this again. This is it. This is on tape, and this will be out. But I had to get these other points in that I brought in today. That was really, really something. And now, as far as we are, He's the body of Christ, and we're baptized into His body. Amen. Have you ever heard the little saying, I read the back of the book in the wind? Amen. The song said, we win, we win. I read the back of the book and we won. How many of you ever heard that song? Amen. You haven't heard it? Okay. It's in the book of Revelation. No devil destroyed and we win. See? But I want to show you, I want to read one scripture. And if you'll hold your place here, I'm in Hebrews, the ninth chapter. But I want to read one scripture. And that's in the back of the book. That's Revelation 21. And it's verse 3. I want to show you the tabernacle when we get over there, and then we're going to work our way up to it. Amen. I'm so excited about this thing and what God's doing and how it's working that I'm going to get so excited I can't hardly stand it. Amen. But here in Revelation chapter 21, it's talking about this tabernacle now. It shows you why it goes into completely spiritual. God's that tabernacle. How many knows it? God's that tabernacle and we're in Him. But see what God did? He had Israel to lay these booths out there to type it out, to put it on our mind, that we can get over here and we can see what God had in mind all the time. He knows, the Bible says, known unto the Lord all His works from the beginning. So since He knew from the beginning, you know what He did? He started typing it out through the Old Testament. That when we get in the New Testament, it says, bright as a noonday sun. Hallelujah. Ooh, yeah. All right, Revelation 21 now. This is after the millennia here. Let me just start in verse 1. I was going to read 3, but Lord, that other good. It says, I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven, first earth has passed away and there was no more place. Passed from one stage to another. It says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's God. What God's been doing all through the ages. It's all congealed together. Amen. God coming down and magnifying. There's no nothing literal coming down. Because Peter laid the foundation, but he didn't take a wheelbar full of cement. He took his faith. How many knows that there's nothing literal coming down? It's God's Spirit coming down the earth after it's all over. But watch this verse 3, what I want to show you, because it deals with that tabernacle like all the way through. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall wipe all the tears from their eyes. And one of the other verses there said, I saw no tabernacle there, and for the Lord God's a tabernacle. Amen. How many sees it? Amen. Well, that's all. Well, that's what you are. You're in Christ. Now, the book of Hebrews, Paul goes into it, and he brings it out, and he shows us we're members of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, think about this. You're members of the body of Christ, and we as a body we're called the bride. See, how many knows it? The bride's made herself ready. We're the bride. And the bride is married to Christ, see. Amen. But I'm not married to Doc. I'm not married to Bobby. I'm not married to Billy. I'm married to Barbara here. Amen. I'm not married. But we're members of each other. See, we're members of each other, but as a whole, we're married to Christ. We're not married to each other. We're married to Christ. We're members of each other. How many will say? And since we're members of each other, you are an individual. If you try to change, you ain't got a whip to get on you or anything, but I'm telling you, you're wrong. Amen. Brother Brown said one time, he says, God don't want to change your personality. He wants to convert it. See, convert your personality. Amen. Praise God. I've known Anita there for a long time. She's always had the same personality. Amen. When she was out in the world, or now that she comes to church every week, she's one thing about her always. She'd always do anything she could for anybody, nearly. I tell you, I don't know how in the world it happened that her and Doc got matched up together. It must have been the Lord. Because they both battle like, both of them got hearts bigger than they are. Amen. I tell you, God's able to put people together, ain't He? Amen. That's true. It's what God joined together. Let no man put asunder. Not what man joined together. Man can make all kind of... I married a couple. I didn't marry them. I said the ceremony over. Amen. It wasn't too long. I heard one went one way and the other went the other, you know. You know, well, they weren't... If you're joined of God, it'll stay. Amen. We're in this world. You may have your little differences from time to time, but God used that as sandpaper to get you slick enough and make smooth you out for His kingdom. Amen. I'm not talking about abuse or something like that. No, God's children has to take abuse. How many knows it? Any man that would abuse a woman and curse her and anything like that ain't fit to be. I mean, he ain't no man. He's a beast. Can you say amen? Praise God. And any woman got the Holy Ghost, she won't stay in. She'll get out of it. Can you say amen? Amen. That's the truth. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, a lot of people make a lot of mistakes and a lot of people want to hold them to it. rest of their life if they ever made a mistake. But I'll tell you, if you're a child of God, amen, when you were in sin, if you got connected to something that was a beast of the field, that's what the serpent was, beast of the field, you know. That want to beat and knock around on you and hit around on you and do things, be abusive, whether it's in language or whether it's in physical. Sometimes mental abuse is worse than as bad as physical. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. A lot of times I've been in homes and it's such a sad situation. Sometimes the wife afraid to invite anybody will come, or afraid to do this, afraid to do that, afraid it might not please the old man. Well, maybe, honey, you might ought to change old man's then. Amen. Come on now. Glory to God. Amen. My wife can invite any of her friends in that she wants to because her friend's my friend. Amen. If she want to buy somebody a little gift or something, she don't have to come and say, yeah, could I buy this little gift here, you know? Amen. No, she ain't no slave and she ain't no servant. She's a wife. Amen. Glory to God. A lot of times we go, like yesterday, went to flea market. And I gave her more money than I had to get. And she and Sister Hammond went one way and me and Brother Hammond went the other looking through the flea market. I didn't say, now don't you spend this or don't spend that or don't do this. Amen. No. Praise God. I figured she got a head on her shoulder. God give her some brains up there. And she ain't going to overdo. Amen. If she did. And what's so what? We do all the time. Overdo, don't we? Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, I'd be glad when cars get cheap as they were when in 1967. I got a paper on my... I bought a brand new Grand Prix Pontiac. Air conditioned, power steering, power windows and everything. Only $3,700. I still got my papers on it back here. Hey, man, they get that way again, I'm going to buy me another one of them. Because that lasts about $300,000 or $400,000. Amen. Had everything you could put on. $3,700. That was in 63, 60, somewhere that back in there, back in the early 60s. Amen. Now you're looking at $43,000 and $44,000 if you get something, you know. Amen. He's good to us, and he helps us, and he's just that way. Now I want to read some here, and this is getting down to my closing place here. Because we don't have to finish today. Amen. Because if the Lord come back before we get back, we didn't need it anyway, did we? Amen. So it ain't no use to go all day. Amen. I don't get paid for overtime anyway. Amen. Amen. Ain't God good? Now here Paul getting over here, and he began to talk about this same thing, but he's spiritualizing. I love that guy, some reason or another. Amen. Glory to God. I said, like one time, when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to look up old Demas and give him a sock in the nose. But then I decided I won't do that. Reading of it, see, Demas forsook Paul. See, Demas, when Paul needed Demas, Demas forsook him. See? Amen. But later on, I think we find where Demas came back and lined back up. Amen. But the first thing I do, amen, I want to see Jesus. Amen. Is that right? That's why I want to see Jesus. He's the one died for me. Amen. And thank Him for what He's done for me. And then, maybe I'll go look up some of them apostles. But especially I want to see old Paul. And thank Him for laying that foundation so that we could build on it. And thank Him for taking the time to build it right. See, that's 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. I laid the foundation. Paul took time and he built it right so that our building won't fall. It'll stand every storm that comes because he as a master, wise master builder laid the foundation. But watch here, he's getting into the spiritual thing. Same thing I've been talking about, but he brings over in the spiritual. He's showing how it fits with Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "Verily, then verily, the first covenant also had ordinances and divine service, and a worldly tabernacle, a worldly sanctuary." Everybody say worldly sanctuary. That means natural sanctuary. It had a natural, see. Amen. But we got a spiritual one. You're going to see it. We've come to New Jerusalem. How many believe it? We're right smack dab in the middle of it. We come to a heavenly host of angels. But Paul began to show us what God was thinking back there and how he laid them. He says, "There was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick," and that means that types out seven church ages, "and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary." Now, I want you to know, if I do that, yeah, I'm going to say this about shewbread. You know what makes shewbread? Holy bread? Amen. It has to set before the candlelights for 7 days. And after 7 days, it's for the priest. It become holy bread. Amen. That's what this Holy Ghost has been, the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't you glad we're enlightened to the Word of God? If I say God, I'm talking about the same one. If I say Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the same one. If I say Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the same one. If I say the Spirit of God, you don't have to figure out which one it is. Amen. Because when John picked up in heaven, he saw one. And that was one on the throne. So when I say Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the same one, because the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost and came in them, and Jesus said, "I'm with you now, but I shall be in you." And the Bible says, "Know you not that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." So here he's talking about, that's the shewbread and the candlestick, and all that ties out some. It says, "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all," that's where the sacrifice was made, which had the golden censer, "the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pots that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant." That's the commandments that Moses had to hew stone and God wrote again. But I want you to watch the holiest of holies. Something happened when Jesus was crucified. Something happened to the holiest of holies. How many knows what it was? The Bible says the veil in the temple rent. Amen. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. And the ark of the covenant was seen. It opened up the way. Only the high priest could go in then. Now he invites us all to come. Because Jesus Christ is the holy place. Woo, Lord have mercy. Amen. The New Testament Feast of Trumpets. See, the tabernacle is God and all these things, it works up to it. All right. It says here, verse 5, over the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests always went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. In other words, any of the priests could go in the first, but only he could go, the high priest could go in the first. But into the second veil went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And we'll stop on that. See, the high priest, the only one could go. But Jesus, amen, we were in Him, baptized into His body, made part of Him, glory to God. He went right into the presence of God, right into the holies of holies, and signified it by rending the veil for us, and said, "Come right on," hallelujah. Amen, in the Old Testament, they took and tied a rope around the priest's leg while he went into the Holy of Holies and put the pomegranates on and on the bales on his garment, so you could hear him ringing and all that, because he went in there to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. And if God, if he weren't right and something was wrong and somehow he angered God, that man fell dead back there. Nobody else could go back, so they had a rope, they drug him out. And they all repented and whatever, found out what was wrong. What I'm saying is, it was death to go into the Holy of the Holies unless you were a high priest. But in the New Testament, when it's death not to go. Amen. Is that right? God invites us to come into the Holies of Holies. Praise God. Amen. So the booth, they camped around those. The New Testament feast, the tabernacle. God's a tabernacle. We're baptized into it. And verse 8 says, talking about he goes in offering, it says, the Holy Ghost, this signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. Now watch this. He's going to talk about another tabernacle. Oh, praise God, praise God. Now to the natural people, they'll still come keep the feast of the tabernacle. So what he's saying here is this. Amen. The holies of holies is open up. But while the first tabernacle was yet standing, how many see? The Jews, they rejected him. All that was in the plan of God. And there will never be another tabernacle built like tent tabernacle like this was. They'll rebuild the temple. But this tabernacle, amen, to us, is nothing literal about it. Amen. How many knows it? The Lord God is a tabernacle. How many sees that? Amen. Not a natural. So when you come in here, you come into the tabernacle. Amen. It said that this little church does more than all the churches in Dawsonville and in Dawson County combined. I mean combined. As far as getting gospel out and all that, the lady told Barbara down at the post office that when you go to another post office, see if you can get us some more this year. We got to fill out a thing, each one for foreign, mail and foreign. Said, you use up every one I get. Amen. We can't keep them. You use them all. Amen. And you know what? Every bill's paid. Amen. And we still got money to pay our next bill. How many times? And if Doc wasn't good back there and reminded us to take off and we'd forget that. I tell you, offering ain't what I'm after. I'm after seeing the children of God perfected by the Word of God. Amen. We're going to get out of here pretty soon. Amen. Let's see where I'm at. Tell you what, I think I'm about out. Amen. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll pick up on getting this spiritual. I feel like this has been a tremendous help to us. And what Brother Francis said there about letting him know it's all right to be him. He don't have to try to be like somebody else. That's a tremendous help, isn't it? Amen. God says you got your own booth. You're a member. You're a member of the body. You be what you want. And God will give you the gifts. Amen. I could go on and get some more of these, but if I do, see, if I start up now, I'm getting into a kind of another phase of it, and my time is gone here. But it's been good to be here, haven't it? I tell you, I'm telling you, I feel that wheel in the middle of the wheel. Amen. That's what one of the prophets said. The other prophet says, it feel like fire shut up in my bones. Woo-wee. Amen. I like that water. If you don't obey the word, keep the feast of the tabernacles, coming to the house of God using your gift. Now look here. Oh, if I got time for this. I got to do this one on this day. See, there won't be no rain on it. See, you've got to come and build your booth. If it won't, it won't rain on your crops. You won't produce any fruits. See, he talks about there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all that. Amen. Keep that tabernacle. That is, be an individual in the body of Christ and do your part. We just have a good time. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this service this morning, for your many blessings upon us. And God, I just pray that you'll just burn this word into our heart, Lord. And Lord, let it come alive. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, let it just become in us, Lord, that you would have it, Lord. And may we bring forth that fruit that you've ordained. Father, bless everyone come this way and keep us in your love. And may we let the rain of the Holy Ghost fall on us all through the week and bring forth fruit. that we may bring it up to the Feast of the Tabernacle and worship You, Lord, in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.